Chapter 116. Some money was enclosed in this letter also. £5. It was untouched like the previous sum, and he refolded it in the same way. Detailed instructions were added relative to the address of a reply, which, although they betrayed the intervention of several hands, and made it difficult to arrive at any very probable conclusion in reference to her place of concealment, made it at least not unlikely that she had written from that spot where she was stated to have been seen. What answer was sent? ... I inquired of Mr. Peggotty. Mrs. Gummidge, he returned, not being a good scholar, sir, Pam kindly drawed it out, and she made a copy on it. They told her I was gone to seek her, and what my parting words was. Is that another letter in your hand? Said one. It's money, sir, said Mr. Peggotty, unfolding it a little way. £10, you see. And wrote inside, from a true friend, like the fust. But the fust was put underneath the door, and this come by the post, day afore yesterday. I may going to seek her at the postmark. He showed it to me. It was a town on the Upper Rhine. He had found out, at Yarmouth, some foreign dealers who knew that country, and they had drawn him a route map on paper, which he could very well understand. He laid it between us on the table, and, with his chin resting on one hand, tracked his course upon it with the other. I asked him how Ham was. He shook his head. He works, he said, as bold as a man can. His name's as good, in all that part, as any man's is, anywheres in the world. Anyone's hand is ready to help him, you understand, and his is ready to help them. He's never been heerd fur to complain. But my sister's belief is, twixt ourselves, as it has cut him deep. Poor fellow, I can believe it. He ain't no care, Master Davy, said Mr. Peggotty in a solemn whisper, kinder no care no how for his life. When a man's wanted for rough service in rough weather, he's fear. When there's hard duty, to be done with danger in it, he steps forward afore all his mates. And yet he's as gentle as any child. There ain't a child in Yarmouth that didn't know him. He gathered up the letters thoughtfully, smoothing them with his hand, put them into their little bundle, and placed it tenderly in his breast again. The face was gone from the door. I still saw the snow drifting in, but nothing else was there. Well, he said, looking to his bag, having seen you tonight, Master Davy, and that does me good. I shall away bedums tomorrow morning. You have seen what I've got here, putting his hand on where the little packet lay. All that troubles me is, to think that any harm might come to me, afore that money was give back. If I was to die, and it was lost, or stole, or elseways made away with, and it was never knowed by him, but what I took it, I believe the t'other world wouldn't hold me. I believe I must come back. He rose, and I rose too. We grasped each other by the hand again, before going out. I'd go 10,000 mile, he said, I'd go till I drop dead, to lay that money down afore him. If I do that, and find my Emily, I'm content. If I didn't find her, maybe she'll come to here, sometime, as her loving uncle only ended his search for her, when he ended his life. And if I know her, even that will turn her home at last. As he went out into the rigorous night, I saw the lonely figure flit away before us. I turned him hastily on some pretense, and held him in conversation until it was gone. He spoke of a traveler's house on the Dover Road, where he knew he could find a clean, plain lodging for the night. I went with him over Westminster Bridge, and parted from him on the Surrey shore. Everything seemed, to my imagination, to be hushed in reverence for him, as he resumed his solitary journey through the snow. I returned to the inn yard, and, impressed by my remembrance of the face, looked awfully around for it. It was not there. The snow had covered our late footprints. My new track was the only one to be seen, and even that began to die away its notes so fast as I looked back over my shoulder. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.